Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. In the broadcast today, we're beginning a new series of studies which we're going to entitle The Titles and Names of the Lord. There are some 120 titles and names of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the most titled person in all the world. Now, a title is really a descriptive name, and titles tell us so much about the person who has the title. Suppose a friend of mine from an eastern city were to tell me, "I have a good friend in my city by the name of John Smith." Now, that doesn't tell me too much about John Smith, except perhaps that he's a man of character, or he would not be a friend of my good friend. However, if he adds that he is the mayor of the city, that would tell me much about John Smith. It would tell me he was an educated man. It would tell me that some of his education would be in legal matters. It would tell me that he was a civic-minded man, that he had charisma, that he had the confidence of the people, of the electorate. It would tell me so much about this man who is the mayor, the title, the mayor of the city in which my friend lives. He would be a man that I would want to know. Now, in our series of studies on the names and titles of the Lord, we want to magnify the Lord. We want to somehow capture His majesty by His titles, because His titles will tell us so much about Him. And we want to indeed magnify the name of the Lord. Are you interested? I tell you, I am anticipating this series with much pleasure. And I just pray that we will glorify the Lord, and that He will have the place in our thinking, in our hearts, that is really, rightfully His. All right. Now, we're going to pursue this series of studies under the titles that show, in six broad categories, His divine glories, His redemptive glories, His judicial glories, His governmental glories, His creation glories, and His eternal glories. And today, of course, we wish to start on His divine glories. And first off, we're going to go immediately to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. In that text that throws a broadside, literal broadside of titles at us, of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, of His majesty. I love this portion of Scripture because Handel in his Messiah just immortalizes the Messiah by this wonderful, wonderful Scripture. We read Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with justice and with judgment from henceforth forever and ever." Oh, my soul thrills when I hear a huge chorus spelling out these titles of our Lord Jesus: Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, in the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, we read there, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself gives Himself a title. And we want to read this with great interest, because if the Lord gives Himself this title, we must listen to it. Now, others give Him titles. We will notice that during our studies. But notice, please, in John chapter 10, verse 30, "I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone Him. Jesus answered them, 'Many good works I have showed you from my Father. For which of those do you stone me?' The Jews answered Him, saying, 'For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God.'" Oh, they were so wrong. It was not a man making himself to be God. It was God who made himself to be a man. And if God chooses to make himself to be a man, who can tell him he can't do it? He tells the, but they were right in their thinking, and they were right in their statement that no man, being a man, can make himself God. But they were ignorant of who this person really was. Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I said ye are gods?" They were going to stone him because he claimed to be the Son of God. "If he call them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God." Now we have really here two titles. I am is his eternal title. He is the great I am. And he is the Son of God. And you notice, please, it's the definite article. The Son of God. The Lord gives himself this title of the Son of God. Now this, of course, implies immediately that the Godhead is in plurality. The Godhead is plural. I am the Son of God. Obviously, if he's the Son of God, he's got to have a father. Now, we read in Genesis 1 and 26 and 27, chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. In the creation of Adam, this is the day of creation, or the days of creation, rather, the sixth day. And God said, "Let us make man in our image." Our image? Yes, God is plural. The Godhead is plural. "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And in the next verse we read, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him." Now, God is a Trinity. We read that in so many places in the Scripture. The Lord Jesus himself refers to God as a Trinity. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, when he is giving the great commission to his disciples, he tells them there, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Now here our Lord Jesus Christ names the members of the Godhead: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, or God the Holy Spirit, as it's translated in more modern volumes. Now here we have three gods and one person. Somebody says, "I don't understand that. How can, are there three gods? How can there be three gods and one person?" Well, we only have to look at ourselves. We were created in the image of God, and we are a Trinity ourselves: body, soul, and spirit. Now, the body is not the soul, and the soul is not the spirit. But we are a Trinity, and we are one person at the same time. And that Trinity of beings, that is, that Trinity within us, we won't say beings, plural, we'll just say the Trinity makes us one person. The body, the soul, and the spirit, we function as one person. Now, here we have God indeed showing himself to us that he is a Trinity. Now, in John chapter 1, John, in writing in his gospel, says in the very beginning of the gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Now here, the Word is capitalized. This is a title. This is a title of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, please, down in verse 14 of this same chapter. "And the Word," capital W, "was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." This is the divine logos. The Word. We make ourselves understand by words. Words are the vehicles of thought. I'm using words, and I'm creating thoughts in your mind. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God, capital W, because he connotes to you and to me what God is like. He came down that we might see God, that we might see him in action, and he indeed is God. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the Word. He's the complete expression of the Father. And we read in John chapter 14, where the Lord Jesus rebukes Philip. Philip says to the Lord on that occasion when he's giving them his instructions before he knows he's going to the cross. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father. And the Lord said, Philip, have you been so long time with me and you've not seen the Father? He that has seen me has seen the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ, as the Word of God, completely tells out the character of our Father. I know what God is like, my Father, because I have seen Christ as he is brought before us, expounded in the Scriptures. Now, in the third chapter of John, our Lord Jesus Christ gives to himself another title. In John 3:16 we read, For God so loved the world, and the Lord is the speaker. He's talking to Nicodemus. The Lord is the speaker now. In John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now the Lord gives himself another title, the only begotten Son. Now this is a title of endearment. But it is a title. He is the only begotten Son of God. And God gave him to die on the cross for your sins and for my sins, that we might indeed come to know him, that we might indeed come to know the grandeur of the Godhead. But you know, we don't have to wait till heaven till we begin to realize something of his majesty, something of his grandeur, and we want to explore it in this series of studies, the names and the titles of God. Now, he's the Lord of hosts. This speaks of his title. This is Psalm 24. Now, he is the Lord of the hosts of the angels. We read this from Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 6 and 7. We read there, And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the Lord of the host of the angels. How many of them are there? I don't know. Millions, I presume. But he is also the Lord of the hosts of the armies of the Christians. You know, you and I are in a warfare. We used to sing, The fight is on, O Christian soldiers, and face to face in stern array. And he is the Lord of hosts, both of men and both of angels, overcoming evil. And he overcame evil by going to the cross and dying for our sins. Our Father, today we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, for who he was, who he said he was, and that he accomplished our salvation by dying for us on that cruel cross. We thank thee for him. In his name, amen.